When I was young, growing up, I was born in 1940, so I'm nearly past my years by date, in August, I think. I thought everyone was either a Roman Catholic or a Church of England. I knew there were a few others, but you know, everybody seemed to be that to me. So I went to Sunday school and I gave it up at 12, and I said to my mother, I'm not going past 12. I do remember a creed. You know, at high school we went to religious instruction, and the creed in the Church of England spoke about the Trinity and also the Holy Catholic Church. And I thought to myself, I was talking about the Catholic Church in the Church of England, but apparently that's a universal thing that was. So I joined the public service when I was 16. At 18, I learnt to fly. I could fly before I could drive because you didn't have those tricky clutches and hill starts, you know. So then I met this 17-year-old girl. I took her flying to be impressive, as you do. And she was a Sunday school teacher, and 4 years after that I married her. And I was a very happy, happy man, I can tell you that. Beautiful wife. We were a bit naive in those days. I thought homosexuals were sissies who preferred girls to beer. But I also thought that Christianity was a very effeminate religion, especially when you look at the images of Christ, you know. It wasn't for me. But that all changed on the 23rd of April 1965. I came home from work to find that my beautiful wife and our landlady had been murdered. You know, a break up now. And in a robbery gone wrong. And my wife tried to protect the old lady, and they both were killed. So to say I was devastated, let's put it mildly, my life was over, I thought, at 24. And you don't get over it, but you live with it. And I thought to myself, well, this is the way the world is, I don't want much to do with it. First of all, I wanted to kill the murderer. I even got the office pistol and I was going to take it to court, but I didn't. I later learnt that under the old covenant I'd be an avenger of blood, wouldn't I? Anyway, I tried to meet this fellow after he went 19 years in prison. And he wouldn't meet me. And the reason he wouldn't meet me was because he'd remarried. He'd been released in 84. And his wife didn't know that he was a murderer. And I don't know how he lives with that. But anyway, he wouldn't meet. We went through mediation. At distance, you know, the Justice Department runs it. And they'd tell me what he said and I'd say something and they'd back and forth. Anyway, he said he was sorry, he'd trying to make up by doing good for the rest of his life, so I accepted that and I wrote him a letter of forgiveness and I really didn't mean it. But without being a Christian, you couldn't do that, I don't think. So in 1966, I was transferred to Huandon and I went looking for God. Now, a lot of people, Huandon's between Townsville and Mount Isa. And I tried the Church of England, and it wasn't them. I tried the Presbyterian. I even painted their manse for them, but I didn't think that was the one. And one morning tea, we were at the back of the courthouse, was where I worked, talking to some fellows, and we got around to Herbert Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong and The Plain Truth. And they had some Plain Truth magazines, so they gave me one, and I took off with it. You know, Bible study, I had the Bible study, Bible correspondence course, and of course they were Sabbath keepers, so each Sabbath I'd be there with my typewriter, and for 8 hours I'd be typing all the scriptures and things with to do with the Bible correspondence course. And at the end of the day I was utterly exhausted. And I thought, yeah, this is supposed to be a day of rest. It wasn't going on very well. Now, from 1970 to 1995, I lived like a Jew. We kept the Sabbath, holy days, clean and unclean meats. And, of course, that included wholemeal bread and more sugar, and that's your white out there. Okay. So, there was a lot of food food laws and Sabbath keeping. I had to give up prawns and crabs, which was a bit of a blow. But later on, I...
Jenny loves her prawns and crabs.
But anyway, they had the Pope as a false prophet, the EEC with Germany, the head of it, as the beast, 10 nations, and the Feast of Tabernacles pictured the millennium. Of course, I think the EEC now has about 33 nations. I looked up the internet the other day and I found a John Christian writer, and I think, well, that's got to be a number to him, you know. And he has King Abdullah of Jordan as the beast. It was quite interesting, because he'd be an honest, and you know, Anthony's spoken about the Psalm 83 with the 10 nations surrounding Israel, and of course he's got the false prophet as the Arab Mahdi, I think he called him, Mahdi.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it does fit in there together. But anyway, this, it was the Worldwide Church of God I was in, and it was the only true church, of course. And if you left, you wouldn't be in the kingdom, would you? So our job was to pay and to pray. And we kept the Passover, bread and wine, and foot washing, which was something new. The Pope washes a few feet, but we washed everybody's feet. Now, the Worldwide Church was big on the identity of Israel. Now, if you remember, when Solomon died, Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he was going to be harder on Israel than even his father was. So they split up. 10 tribes went with Jeroboam, and I think the Jews, Levites, and some Benjamites stayed with Rehoboam. Now, the 10 tribes went into captivity some 130 years before and were lost from history. Now, Herbert Armstrong wrote a book called U.S. and Britain Prophecy, and claimed the sons of Joseph, that's Ephraim and Manasseh, are Britain and the U.S. And Genesis 48 talks about a group of nations and a great nation. And the King James Version actually uses the term Commonwealth. Now, apparently they took the place of Reuben, who lost his birthright because of his adultery with Bilba, one of Israel's wives. Herbert Armstrong identified them as the French. And of course, that's why the French hate the British, because they've got the birthright problem. I won't go into a lot of detail on that, but you know, I've been at this for 43 years now. It's a long time. But Herbert Armstrong didn't come up with this business of British Israel, because I've been on the internet recently and there's a British Israel's organisation. There's another one called BRICAM. There's another one called Christians Assembly International, and they're a Pentecostal group. Another one called Bible Believers. Now, I found also a David Ben Ariel, yeah, it sounds like Jewish to me, on the internet. And he wrote an article on Isaiah 31:5, as birds flying. Jerusalem's liberation by British Israelites, he says, fulfilling a prophecy of Haggai 2:18-20 and Daniel 12:12. That's the prophecy about 1335 days. And that liberation of Israel from the Turks after 1335 years took place on the 9th of December 1917, which is the 24th day of Kislev. It happens to be the 1335th year of Islam. Now, the Christian assemblies have a similar article, which includes the 800 Australian light horsemen and the last cavalry charge on Bathsheba, which led next day to the surrender of Jerusalem. And of course they claim that the, you know, Australians, being British, being Ephraimites, ended the reign of the Gentiles there. And also, I've also heard that the land of Sinem is Australia and New Zealand. Now, in many places God promised David his throne would never be failed to be a descendant on that throne, and appears the line of kings ended with Zedekiah. When he went into captivity, all his sons were killed, his eyes were put out. And Jeremiah took the king's daughters to Egypt. And that's from there it's claimed that Jeremiah took them to Ireland, where a princess called Tia Tippi married Prince Heremon, a Danite. And the Bible talks of the throne being overturned. And you know, they claimed that it was from Ireland to Scotland to England. And this would make Queen Elizabeth the caretaker of Christ's throne until he returns. There are other clues, you know, Saxons means the sons of Isaac, and Britain means covenant land, and British means covenant people. So that's the sort of thing that they came up with. I looked at further today too, where some claim the majority of Jews living in Israel today are descendants of the Khazars, who were converts to Judaism in the 8th century by King Bulan, who did it by decree, and that the Sephardic Jews are hereditary. Well, I don't know. There's clean claims and cleaner claims there. It's interesting that Christ said in Matthew 15:24 that he's going to the lost sheep of Israel. James 1:1 says, writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So maybe they knew where they were. But, you know, we must remember that the Judah is only one tribe of the 12. Anyway, in 1990 I came to understand the New Covenant, and that was a big change for me. The worldwide church changed and many left, and there's, well, I think there's about 300 split so far. Now, we always thought that Christ was God and the Holy Spirit was God's power, so we were a divinity, not a trinity. Now, I was happy with that, and it was only a short step from the divinity to the trinity. So I went along with that. Now, early in 1999, my second wife died. I'm not doing too well with wives. And I got another revelation, if we want to call it that. We heard that Charles Hunting was giving a talk in Brisbane, and four of us decided to go down. But then we thought to ourselves, you know, well, we go to the pub. We thought we'd go to the pub. There were four of us for dinner. But now we're going to listen to Charles Hunting. There were quite a few people there, and mostly ex-Worldwide Church of God or current Worldwide Church of God people. And out of that lot, only three of us carried on. And of course, the rest is history. I was baptised by Anthony on his first visit in 2000. And because I thought my baptism wasn't valid, so I thought I would do it again. So we did that in Leslie Dillon. Now, just prior to that too, I accepted that became a creationist, that the earth was young, and not billions of years old. And there's an Archbishop Usher back in the 1600s worked it all out. He reckoned that it all ended, the creation was finished on the 23rd of October 4004 BC. Of course, some churches come up with the gap theory, which is billions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:1-2. That's to fit in with science. So, you know, that's another thing that, I mean, I suppose if you accept everything in the Bible is true, it seems to be 24-hour days to me in Genesis 1. Anyway, it could be the British Commonwealth is Ephraim, the USA is Manasseh, I don't know. Much of Europe is Israelite origin. But however, our salvation doesn't depend on it any more than keeping Sabbaths or holy days. And I suppose we need to concentrate on preaching the gospel to all nations. Converted Christians, anyway, are spiritual Jews. And of course, we're preaching the humanity of Christ. But notwithstanding anything I've said, whether it's accurate or not, I don't know. But none of this takes away from what's happening in Israel today, but adds, I feel, a greater dimension. Even if majority, or some of them were Khazars, people were accepted in the Gentiles were accepted in the congregation of Israel anyway. So that brings me up to date.
Thank you.
Questions, anyone?